guys, welcome to episode 16 of PlayStation Pizza. I'm your host, Chris Gillette. This is GCN's PlayStation Centric Podcast, along with Garth Moore as usual. We sit here, we talk everything PlayStation. Anyways, Garth, we haven't really been talking too much as of late. I've been busy and we didn't do an episode last week, so we do apologize for that. Sorry. I also informed you guys that you could go check out PlayStation Pizza episode 15 this week. Had a reminder about that, and so if you're wondering where we were, you guys could have went and checked that out in the meantime. Garth, we haven't been talking as much this week. So
we took a little break there.
Took a break. I didn't even host Gamescast this week.
I noticed I saw in the description. I was like, oh, look, he's even gone on here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dallas hosted this week. I don't know if they hit you up or not, because I said, well, see if Garth is available.
Dallas did, but I wasn't able to make
it. Okay. That's fine. You know, you're always here for PlayStation Pizza, so that's cool. Anyways, video games. You play anything cool?
I got something cool.
You bought something this week?
Yeah. There was a flash sale last week, as you know.
Okay. Yeah.
You may know this.
I wanted to get Fat Princess Adventures, but I didn't.
Oh yeah.
It's always on sale.
I got a PS3 game.
What'd you get?
And they had every Ratchet Clank game for $2.99. Collection.
Yeah.
Divide 3 original games. So I got Tools of Destruction.
Oh, nice.
From 2007.
Very, very good game, by the way.
Great, great game. And it still holds up for being 10 years old. Of course, I mean,
it's remastered everything. So
Every Ratchet game, you know, holds up. You know, but outside probably like the first game, because it didn't have a strafe button. Tools of Destruction is awesome. It's pretty much a build up before, you know, if you played the quest for booty and stuff, it's basically just like that. But
okay. See, long. I never played Tools of Destruction. That doesn't have trophies either.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it was the first Ratchet game on PS3.
Oh, okay. Nice.
But this one is really old school, too, which I like. It has the old school controls, has the old school art style, because I don't really like the way that they changed the new art style for Ratchet and Clank. I feel like it was perfectly fine how they had it on late PS2 and early PS3. Like, I thought that was, like, the best type of... Because Ratchet kind of looks weird now. Like, he looks skinnier for some reason.
I think it looks good.
His face looks different, so I don't really like that. But this Ratchet that I'm playing here is just perfect. It's like basically, I'm going to compare it to this. It's like seeing Chris Jericho in the 90s to early 2000s. Perfect. Awesome. And then, like, now Ratchet is like today's Jericho, and he just looks weird.
Yeah, it just looks weird, so, especially with
so that's exactly chest. what I feel.
Now,
it's like somebody put a dent in his chest.
Yeah.
Like they punched it and there was a dent in it. But that's how I feel about the new Ratchet. But anyways,
okay. If you're a wrestling fan, you get that.
Yeah. It's only. Which probably many do, because a lot of people do watch it.
Right.
But and did they know who Chris Jericho is?
Yeah, obviously. If they've been watching wrestling that long. Oh, that's cool. Nice.
But
I did not know that.
But yeah, and then...
I didn't know they even had a digital version for that game.
Until I
they might have just put it up. Who knows? Because I've never seen it before on the store, ever.
I never seen it. I never seen it on there either, because... but they had every single Ratchet game you want, except for Deadlock. That was the only Deadlock. One that wasn't on there. But then I've been playing more PS3 this week than I did PS4, because I don't really have anything on PS4.
I got on the PS3. I got on the PS3 as well this week. So,
anything too interesting that's going on PS4 right now besides just the crew and like?
Okay.
And I play that, you know.
You play some Zombie Army Trilogy, though, didn't you?
I did. A little bit. Did play that. I can't play that anymore now. That's kind of on hold because PlayStation Plus is gone right now.
For me, okay. So I gotta... Well, I have PlayStation Plus, so it should work just fine for you.
It's weird because I noticed you had it because I thought at first I was like, oh man, his ran out because mine has been out for the past. I noticed you still had yours, but I was able to still play. But for some reason, the other night, I was like, oh man, his must have expired. But you still had it, but I wasn't able to go on. So it's really weird. I don't understand.
Yeah, you should be able to play online with no problem, as long as one person has it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's really strange, but
Wow.
I've had trilogy. Made it to the 10th round on Horde mode.
Nice.
So, but that was still random. My aim was all over the place because it was my first time on there for like.
A year.
Almost a year.
Yeah.
So my aim was all over the place.
I remember we played that, and then right after that we played Sniper Elite 3, so we were in the groove for a while. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Exorcist got it, and I wanted to play with him.
So is he enjoying it? Is he enjoying that at all?
Yeah, he loves it a lot.
We tell everybody, if you haven't got it, I mean, you just missed out on the flash sales, $14.99.
What's funny is that he didn't actually get it on the flash sale. He actually got it in the mail the week of the flash sale. So it was just like a typical coincidence.
Okay.
Crazy coincidence.
So he picked it up, huh?
But he did get it for a cheap price, so it's not like he got like ripped off completely.
Well, right. That game is, what, $40, I think, originally. Which isn't a bad deal. You know, three games, you get Horde mode, all that's co-op. So it's a really good deal.
And it's just very fun to play.
Yeah, very fun, very addicting.
yeah.
Very true.
But that's really it, though. I mean, and like Red Dead, I was just, playing a lot, too. And
nice.
Mexico, and that's one of the most amazing moments when you go to Mexico. It's just like, wow, this is awesome.
I didn't make it that far.
You get the sounds everybody speaks, the language and everything. It's really awesome.
Nice.
I love.
You can hear everybody speaking Spanish and all that. That's cool.
Yeah, like they play the music and everything too. You hear the as you're riding a horse. It sounds awesome. Sort of like our sound when you play sometimes during the show.
Oh, so they have like Mexican music and. Like kind of cowboy days.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So is it like the sad trombone we usually do like this? Very nice. That never gets old.
Yeah, it's just sort of like that. Yeah.
Very nice.
The Mexican sad face.
The Mexican trombone. That's all you played? Okay.
Yeah.
I've been kicking ass on Resogun on Vita at work. I got like three or four silver trophies today.
How does it play on Vita?
It plays like a dream. You know, who did that game anyways? Was it Hasmark?
Yeah, it was Hasmark.
Hasmark Studios,
yeah.
Those guys are fucking insane when it comes. They even did the Dead Nation port to Vita for Dead Nation.
On Vita?
Yeah, they brought that to Vita. It was like... a year after they put the remaster on PS4 for Dead Nation. Yeah. It was like a year later. Because I was trying
to... it was on Vita.
Yeah, it is. Which is bullshit that I can't get it for free because I already own two copies of it.
You bought it twice already.
Right, it's like $7.99 or whatever on Vita. So, I mean, it's cool, but I'm not going to pay $7.99 again for a game that I almost beat the first time on PS3 and then... We beat finally on PS4, which that game is ridiculous. So it we played on the hardest difficulty that was available to us the first.
And that wasn't even the hardest. That was just like the hardest that was available, which is ridiculous. Right.
And I'm not gonna go through the game again just to get those. Yeah. That's ridiculous. But fun game overall. If you don't have it, I highly recommend it. So Resogun, playing the shit out of that. I was stuck for a little while. I'm playing on moderate, the middle difficulty. And on Vita,
at times,
you know, there's particle effects everywhere. It's pretty impressive, even on the PS4. Well, at times...
Is there less particle effects because it's Vita?
Did they close to being similar, but sometimes the particles are hard to see. It's just, you know, it's a smaller screen, so my ship will end up getting hit, and I'll blow up, and I'm losing lives, and I'm getting frustrated. I'm like, God damn it. So a few times I had to restart, but overall I'm starting to get better at it. Like, I'm adjusting, so I'm enjoying it a lot more. Got like 4 silver trophies today. I'm starting to pass more through the levels, like breezing through them now, and the boss battles are becoming more simplistic. I never beat it on PS4. I think I played it on moderate, and the last boss of that game was a pain in the ass. I remember setting it down and finishing Killzone Shadowfall instead, and I never went back to it after that. I think I ended up deleting it or something like that. Never touched it on PS4 again.
There's a way to do it. There's a way to beat the final boss. It's like a trick that you got to do. It's okay. Trial and error, but once you figure out the right strategy,
I was guessing because he fires so much, you know, you got to kind of stay far back from him. But I was guessing it was like boosting through the fire, shooting him up a little bit, following back, waiting till your boost, you know, refills. I don't know. I'm not sure, but
use your. I use my bomb, and then I saved my overcharge.
Overcharge,
blasted
everything. I love those abilities.
That helped out a lot.
Nice. Yeah, so enjoying that. I'm having a good time. I'm playing that while I'm working a lot, and at the hospital and stuff. We have Veronica's appointments and stuff. So finding time, real good time for the Vita, and Pokemon Go as well, even though this is a PlayStation podcast. I've been playing a lot of Pokemon Go.
It's all right. You could say
I've been playing it like while I'm going out. It's the first thing I do. It's like on the way to where I'm going, I'm playing, and then when I get to that destination, I pull out my Vita. So I've been playing a lot of Vita. What game is it? It's I'll have to get back to you. There's another game I downloaded I haven't started yet, but it's been on my list forever. So I installed it, haven't played it. I'll get back to you on the title once I remember.
On PS4 or Vita?
No, Vita.
Okay.
I've been playing a lot of WWE 2K16, my career. And let me tell you something. This game just keeps becoming a piece of shit.
Yeah, I told you. It looked like the grind is too much for so little payoff. Like, you grind for hours and the payoff isn't even worth it, you know? So the grinding in that game, it's so much and it's so over... It's the grind is too much for so little of a payoff. Like, you do all that grinding and the payoff is just... It's not really worth anything.
WWE 2K15 wasn't like that. It was like, you start in NXT, you work your way to the number one contender spot... Yeah, you have a couple rivalries in between a tag partner. You know, you could possibly get the tag titles if you do well enough, which I don't really like doing tag teams on video games. It's a hassle. The matches are too long.
You can't get the AI to cooperate.
Right, exactly. It just doesn't work out very well. Unless if there was a way to play locally with someone, that would be way better. But WWE 2K15 was fine. It wasn't much of a grind like this. This, let me tell you something. I have been number one contender for 3 hours or more I've been playing. Added on to my time I was already at. So I think I'm like over 10 hours. And I'm still in NXT. 10 hours. Over 10 hours of gameplay and I'm still in NXT. So I have not lost. I keep fighting Kevin Owens. He won the title from Finn Balor. Finn Balor keeps wanting to fight me. And then I get random attacks from shitty people I don't need to be fighting. Sin Cara, for one. You know, he just keeps coming up behind me.
Like when I got attacked, by Aiden English from the vaudeville. I'm like, why am I getting attacked by Aiden English? Like, he's a part of a tag team.
He's well, not anymore.
Well, wait, no. I actually thought that they got kept in the draft.
I think one of them did, right? No,
Sin Cara and the other guy. Callisto is the ones that separate. But anyways,
I keep saying they interview me. She interviews me, and I say I don't want nothing to do with him. Blah blah blah. I really don't.
You say the same thing over and over again.
And then it keeps setting me up. It's like the game is telling me I have to have one more rivalry before I can get the title shot or something. But I keep refusing it. I've done it probably like 6 or 7 times, refusing it, and I'm about to.
In other words, the game is telling you that this game is very short, so we're just prolonging things for no
reason.
Reasons, so the game could be long.
Right, and I have not made it to a main show yet. It's fucking insane. By now, I would have already won the heavyweight title like I did in 2K15 on SmackDown. So, yeah. But anyways, I'm about
that. Yeah. How about that cheap pre-order bonus for 2K17? Check this out. You get Apollo Crews. You get an NXT bonus pre-order. You get Apollo Crews, which is already on the main roster. He's not on NXT anymore. You get Nia Jax, who just got drafted to Raw, and you get NXT person Shinsuke Nakamura, the only NXT person on in that pre-order bonus.
You don't get
Bayley, you get Nia Jax.
Right.
For fuck's sake.
I don't know.
I don't get it too.
Ukes,
man. They got to get a different development team, because Ukes is not cutting it.
No, Ukes.
They don't know how to make a career mode. They don't know how to make gameplay fun. They don't know what they're doing anymore. They've been given too many opportunities.
Right.
And they suck.
Ukes needs to be put in the old folks home of development studios. They don't have it anymore. And I'm glad that you bring that up, because that's kind of something to do with my topic, because I do the topic of the week this week. So, but we'll get to that in a second. I played a lot of 2K15. It's a lot of Rocket League I'm getting back into as well, trying to work my ranking up. So I've been playing that off and on, probably like a couple matches here and there. Nothing too crazy. And then I jumped over to PS3, and I was looking through my library, and I was actually thinking about scooping up some achievements for a game that is excellent, I think a hidden gem, and is exclusive to PlayStation Network, Hamster Ball. I told you this a while back. I was looking out there, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to try this trial mode. I don't remember it being as difficult as it was. This fucking trial mode is insane. I was like, wow, I must be really good at this game.
You can't pass the trial.
It's tough, yeah. It's like you gotta beat each level within a certain time limit, but the levels are different from the campaign levels. They're like top down, and you gotta follow the camera differently. So it's tough. So I was just messing around on there and checking out some PS3 games. I went on Grid Autosport and played a couple of races online. I haven't done that in a while, so the community's still alive, so that's cool. And they have, like, drag racing DLC and stuff like that I didn't even really know existed.
Well, nice.
But, yeah, not too bad. That's pretty much it for me. But I was saying, you were mentioning Yucks, or Ukes, whatever people want to call them.
I pronounce it as Ukes.
Right. And they don't really have it anymore, especially with wrestling games. I think it's time to let someone else step up.
They are the Big Show of game developers.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, my topic is...
Or Kane.
Yeah, or Kane. But they can never come back in their career if they really wanted to. But my topic for this week is, Garth, what is your thoughts on mid-tier games that we used to get a lot of on, well, PS1, yeah, but they really stood out in the PS2 era, Dreamcast, original Xbox, GameCube, the mid-tier games we used to get from Midway, THQ. They're not really AAA, they're not really single A, they're not really indie, but they have the potential and they put money into them, but they're not really considered a big budget title. But those mid tier games like Darksiders or maybe PsyOps we got back in the day, or the wrestling games you were talking about,
the Suffering,
right? The Suffering, those type of games that really weren't called AAA, but they were budget or big budget titles, but not really AAA. What would you? I mean, what do you think about them coming back? Like, we got MX versus ATV Encore, we got that. We got MXGP, those motocross games that are considered big budget, but they're not really AAA either. What are the games that really have to look at? There's a lot that are actually coming in. What was that game, Alekhine's Gun? It was supposed to be a bigger title from Maximum Games, and then it ended up failing, which is weird because on Steam, it's got positive reviews.
What the fuck?
All positive. Or it's very positive or
maybe
whatever.
Maybe they came out with updates.
Yeah, right. But on consoles, it's not looking too hot. But anyways, games like, we see a lot of those games coming. And I guess some people can say Mafia could be considered into that category. But I think Mafia is more of a quality title from 2K.
I would say maybe the first
Mafia
game.
Right. And that was actually considered a graphical achievement on PC at the time, which is might sound crazy now.
Yeah, but it was an absolutely disaster on console because it would just constantly load.
I beat it on original Xbox. I could tell you all about that one.
It was so, and I played it on PS2, and that's what stuff like that on ports like that on PS2. It's so slow, and the loading. Everything just sucks. That was not a very good PS2.
No, definitely not. But this is kind of a two-part. My second part is, what is really AAA to you? Because there's a lot of indie devs that go balls to the wall, like AAA style or innovation that we don't get from AAA anymore. Like those big budget 3D titles that they spend a lot of money. Sometimes we don't get what we expect out of them. But yet, an indie title comes out, they don't spend as much, but they put the effort that a AAA game has into their title. So, first part of the question, what do you think about all these mid-tier games coming back and having a place where they once did? And they're starting to come on strong because, real quick before I let you answer, is another one I'm actually excited about, which you played Riptide 2, right? Riptide GP2, the one I got with Beach Buggy Racing, the combo.
Yeah, yeah.
You see the new ones coming out? Riptide Renegade?
Yeah.
It looks fucking awesome, by the way. So, excited about the trick system. Reminds me of Tricky.
Hopefully there's actually online.
There is. Hopefully there's actually eight player multiplayer online this time. Good. So, what are your thoughts about all this? Yeah. What are your thoughts about all these mid-tier games coming back?
Well, it definitely needs to have, because look at all these AAA games that flop. I mean, if you can have more of these, I don't want to say hidden gems or whatever, but like games that are just the play before a big game comes out. But then you got to hope that big game lives up to your expectation. So like,
right.
We do need games, because I feel like this generation has been kind of slow sometimes, getting off to a hot start with consistency. It needs more consistency with great games. There's not enough consistency. 2014 was a disaster when it came to games, really. When it came to consistency, 2014 had a lot of great games, but there were a lot of disappointing games.
Lots
2015 got a lot better. So far, the best year. I don't know if 26. I don't know if this year is as good as 2015's, but it's been okay this year.
We have the rest of the year to look forward to, but it's close. I would say this year is pretty close to last year, but it's. I mean, it's. I don't know. It's up there. They're in a race for it for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So, we definitely need more games like that. We need more. Maybe not AAA games, but like that one game, I Am Satsuna or whatever.
Satsuna? Yeah, I Am Satsuna.
That's a classic old school type of game that just came out. and people are praising the game a lot. So we need, you know, more like what is it, like a Chrono Trigger or something like that. So, you know, we need more games like that. And that game's a $40 game too. You know, that's a thing. And then you got this isn't considered an indie game, but No Man's Sky.
No Man's Sky is an indie title.
Yeah. It's considered it. Yeah. But is it really at the same time? Because it is a $60 game. Yeah.
Right. That's my question.
The studio isn't really, you know, big. You know, it's a small studio, but can it be considered? I mean, we have to play the game first to actually see if it is, can be considered it. But I mean, it has potential of being a AAA game.
Yeah, like it definitely looks like a AAA game for sure. That being said, does AAA,
by the way, if it has guns in first person.
Yeah, what is AAA to you then anymore? Does it mean like Uncharted 4? Or do you expect some of these smaller titles like No Man's Sky or even other smaller titles you played to be on the excitement level and quality level and content level?
Quality level and content level, absolutely.
Yeah.
And also good, you know, nice voice acting and all that stuff, and great compelling campaign if you can have one. A multiplayer only game like Battlefront is not really AAA to me. It's just a multiplayer game.
Multiplayer.
So I don't really consider that, even though people...
Yeah. Same thing with Destiny. I don't consider that AAA.
Yeah. And maybe you can consider Division not really AAA either.
Right,
I don't know. It is, but I mean, it kind of isn't.
I call them big-budget multiplayer games. That's what they are.
Because really, the game's eventually going to go... Like 10 years from now, is anybody going to be playing it?
Or, exactly. You know? Yep. It's going to be dead and gone, you know.
So. Like, you got to have those AAA games that you can go back to 10 years down the road and be like, wow, this is a great game at the time.
Yeah.
You can't do that with Destiny, Division. Those games will fall into obscurity and won't be worth anything here in the future.
Yeah.
And that's kind of sad.
That's true.
That's what isn't taken into consideration. These days, these developers, they're great games, but they don't think of that. You know, that all they do think about is making the money now and screw the future. You know, screw if you guys can play this game 10 years down the road. We just want the money now. And if you, who cares if you're not playing the game 5 years from now?
Because
our brand new game's going to be out by then. So
So they don't have any guarantee, you know, of how long the game is actually going to be there, but who will guarantee this is indie developers. Like, that's one thing I noticed. Shovel Knight will be there, and Shovel Knight just actually recently got updates, which you could, they have a new newer update coming, they've had updates, but the newest update that's coming, I think it's this fall, is going to be a complete separate campaign. You get to play as like Dark Knight or whatever. And that's cool. Like, it's a whole other campaign thing they're adding, and that's like for free if you own the game. So
these AAA games feel more inspiring. They feel more different and more like, wow, these guys, you know, like, this is way different.
You mean the indie games, the indie titles?
Yeah. Like the gameplay for these games, they're more inspiring. Some of these things that they think of, you're like, wow, this is, well, like I look at Dustin and Lucien Tell, I fall in love with the characters and music.
The voice acting, by the way, like you were talking about, is AAA in that game, you know, in my opinion. It's just me. But.
Yeah, that actually feels like a very, very rich indie title, you know, and that was made by one person. So, like, you know, you know, and it's sad, you know, one person can make a game better than a group of hundreds of people,
yeah.
You know?
Right, if not a thousand, you know. Yeah, exactly. It's crazy, man. I wanted to know your thoughts on the mid-tier games. I do think we need them back. I think there is a place for them. I think there is a place for that $40 price tag of a game. And, you know, I think they do have a place in the market, considering that AAA isn't doing as good.
I'm all on board with, you know, just games, you know. I don't even care if they're good or bad. Just put them out there. know, because you can never have enough. You can never have enough.
Right, and you might know this already, but mid-tier games, sometimes they get released, and if they're a game that was kind of like on the edge of not getting released, for some reason I have a thing for that. Like, I'm like, you know what, this game could have never happened, so guess what, I get to play it. So, like, I get to check out this game that almost didn't make it to the light of day, and there's something about that that I really like. It's just like, wow, I'm actually getting the chance to play this game that almost didn't make it. That's like even games that get canceled and I see gameplay, I'm like, man, I wish I could really, really play that game. I really want to try it so bad. So from when I do get that chance, it's awesome.
From what you've seen from like Ukulele and some of these Kickstarter games, do you consider those AAA games, even though we haven't played
Ukulele,
them?
But Ukulele has the potential to be a old school AAA title. Nowadays, I'm not sure, but if it gets the exposure, which it already pretty much has,
and if it's long as well, you know,
it's right? Yeah, if it's a long, like 20-hour, you know, platformer with all these collectibles and everything, I'm sure you could probably rush through it quicker than that. But you know, if collectibles and other stuff and upgrades, then I can see it. And plus, if it gets the hype and people actually buy it, besides the Kickstarters. Besides that, I can see the game really taking off and making it somewhere. That's like, for instance, that's where AAA is these days. I don't see it in like these big graphical set pieces. Like you said,
they haven't done too well.
Yeah. Besides like Uncharted and maybe a few other games like Tomb Raider, Bloodborne. Yeah, there's games that have this year which were
absolutely the games, but not very many. As
they're not successful as they once were, I guess you could say, last generation or the generation.
A lot of mainly Ubisoft games, you know, like a lot of them fail. But I mean, they have the potential. They should have been successful,
right?
But they fell flat on their face.
Exactly. But anyways, that was my topic of the week. What is your guys' favorite mid-tier game that's made it to this generation, or last generation previously before that? Just let me know. You guys can email us at PlayStationAndPizza@gmail.com and let us know what your or what AAA means to you these days. It can be anything. Is AAA just AAA to you, where it has been, where it always has been, or does these indie developers really stepping up their game and really showing everybody what AAA should be and what the forward or what the future is looking forward to? You can email us your questions, or you go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/groups/gamerkid. All right, Garth, what do you say we get into some video games, some PlayStation?
Very interesting, very interesting topic there.
Yeah, I've actually had it the week you had topic of the week, but I was like, man, he's got it this week, so I'll have to wait it out.
Very nice.
So yeah, let's jump into some PlayStation news here. All right, first things first, Sony details PlayStation's VR cinematic mode with Uncharted 4 Assault. Sony Japan has provided more details on the PlayStation VR cinematic mode with the help of recent PS4 hit Uncharted 4 Among Thieves. Also, have you heard anything about the cinematic mode, Garth?
Nah.
Oh, you haven't? Really? No. Do you have a Best Buy interview,
by the way? I actually haven't. It's kind of far.
Kind of far?
I don't really ever go because it's far.
Yeah. But if you ever go, you got to check out the PlayStation VR since they have it there to check out. But I'm going to read this some details about the cinematic mode, which sounds interesting and movie-wise and all that, so it looks interesting. Like most PlayStation fans, we dream of playing an Uncharted game within virtual reality in the future. That won't be possible for some time. So Sony has recently explained how you can play the most recent entry with the help of PlayStation VR. In the blog post from Sony Interactive Entertainment Japan, the company provided a brief look at the PSVR cinematic mode, which will allow you to play most and normal PlayStation 4 games, even watch movies within the headset. Going hands-on with the mode with Sony Computer Entertainment Japan, first playing Naughty Dog's latest smash hit, Uncharted 4, which is a great game, by the way. If you haven't played it, you must play it. A Thief's End, a better name in Japan, Uncharted 4, Pirate King, The Last of the Treasure. Oh, that sounds pretty cool. That's what it's called in Japan. But anyways, you can play on equivalent to 226 inches of screen in the cinematic mode. So when you're sitting there with a VR on, There's a big space around you. It looks like you're in a movie theater, and it looks like the screen is huge, massive, way bigger than your TV. It kind of tricks your eyes to thinking you're sitting in a movie theater. So if you ever wanted to play Uncharted on a massive theatrical screen, or any other game like Killzone Shadow 4 or whatever else you want to play, Knack, if that's your go-to. But if you want to check these games out on a theater-sized screen, PlayStation VR is going to be for you. You guys can go to the PlayStation blog and check out that article yourself if you like. Sony Computer Entertainment did a big big kind of tease on it. They showed like how the menu options would work. It kind of looks like when you tap the share button, how those three pictures pop up, like share, save, or you can do other things with it. But anyway, or capture, whatever. But just theater mode, kind of, is that a selling point for you with PlayStation VR, Garth? Or are you not interested really in kind of playing your games on a bigger size screen within PlayStation VR?
I mean, I'm not really interested, to be honest. I really want to see what it is for myself.
Right, yeah. I guess you can't get that experience until we put it on. Yeah, so I have to check it out for myself. But
yeah, so, I mean, I really can't say because I haven't actually experienced it or seen it. So, I mean,
I really don't want to give an opinion. I've always dreamed of playing a game on a massive screen like that. So if I could play Uncharted 4 or Killzone Shadowfall or anything like that, or any PS4 game in mind, then playing it on a bigger screen, especially if my eyes are kind of tricking me to that point where it's like, feels like I'm sitting inside a movie theater ready to play this game on a massive television, then I would be fucking ready to go. So, I mean,
I bet it would feel weird though.
And plus when you're moving, it's like your head is moving and then the screen is still, you know, so that's going to be something to get used to. Cause I'm already used to my TV staying still. So me moving back and forth is kind of natural. So,
and plus, with the size that big, how big would the picture quality be? You know, how good would the image quality be?
Well, so right here it says apparently the large mode is equivalent the size to a 226-inch screen, making it much larger than any commercial television. In a dark virtual space, the screen will then fit to your field of view. The small screen might sound a little pointless at first, but it looks as if the screen follows the user's gaze in the case, thus allowing them to lie down. So that's cool. You can kind of lie down and play. Okay. That's kind of weird. VR headset.
I wouldn't be able to lay down and play. I can't.
No, that would fuck me all up.
I can't do it.
Right, exactly. But yeah, so that's it for the Sony diesel and the PlayStation VR cinematic mode. So that sounds interesting. I guess that's something different than just playing basic VR games, you know. So
right.
Kind of a two-part news thing here because I want to ask you what you think of some Tomb Raider stuff.
Yes.
But first things first. This was a big topic on the Facebook group, which I mentioned, and I will mention again, facebook.com/group/gamercade. Go over there and join the conversation. Neil Druckmann pokes fun at Rise of the Tomb Raider's PS4 box art. The release date of the Rise of the Tomb Raider on PlayStation 4 was announced this morning as October 11th, including a ton of new content based around the series' 20th anniversary. The box art was also revealed and has drawn some comparisons to the recently released collection. Oh my god, is this spot on here or what?
Oh, what were they thinking? I mean, look, I like the cover, but you can't, right. I mean, they gotta come up with something better than that. It looks too much the same, like the Nathan Drake collection. What were they thinking? It is
almost identical.
It's just a different color. That's all it is.
Right. It's a different color. It has
the same font and everything.
The same font. And then where
I don't get it. Like, it's so ridiculous. It's
and crazy. Where the over 75 awards thing is, that's where the Uncharted 4 beta thing was. Just a different shape. Oh, my God.
The state of your innovation. The state of your head, think of using that as your cover. Come on. Well, why can't it just have the same color cover as the Xbox? You know?
Right, yeah. Like, it's just, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's because of the 20th anniversary thing. So, really quick.
I do like what comes with the 20th anniversary stuff, that you actually get a Lara Croft Tomb Raider 1 skin. I think that's skin, awesome.
Yeah. I was actually going to go into some detail on that in this article, but I was also going to ask you, do you have any favorite Tomb Raider moments that stand out to you since this is the 20th anniversary, which sounds pretty fucking mind-blowing. So do you have any favorite Tomb Raider games or moments?
Yeah, I have a Tomb Raider 3. It was, you know, I never beat the PS1 Tomb Raider games because they were hard. Right. Okay, and if you play them today, they don't hold up because they suck. They suck. They're horrible.
They're trash.
I remember having a jam pack. This is a jam pack. I played a demo of Tomb Raider 3. All right, I never owned it. So I remember in the jail cell. I was in the jail cell. I was in prison. I didn't know how to get out. I was stuck. I was stuck.
Classic guard.
I ran around. Look, I played that forever. I was so confused. I didn't know how to do it. I would somehow die. I tried to jump out the window. There's nothing there. Tried to squeeze through the bars. Couldn't do it. There was nowhere to go. So I'm like, how do I get out of this jail cell? And I never figured it out. Still to this day. So that is my Tomb Raider
memory. 20 years.
However, it's funny, right? I'm like, out of all the memories, that's my biggest memory. But however,
that's the biggest one.
There is a positive side of this.
Okay.
The best Tomb Raider game from 2013. That was an amazing game, and I love that game.
It was great. There's two downsides to the game for me. The characters and the weird ending with the supernatural stuff really got me.
Yeah, it didn't really.
I was like, why?
It kind of didn't fit. It was kind of out of place.
They didn't do those two things. I think the game would have been.
Like, they tried to pull an Uncharted there.
Yeah. You know? They did.
Because Lara Croft in the Tomb Raider games had never had any of those type of things in the games. All of a sudden, it's there. It didn't really. It was kind of out of place. You're right.
Exactly.
Yeah, yep. You're right.
For me, I think the best Tomb Raider moments was in 2013. I think
I beat it three different times.
Oh, did you?
That's how much I like the game.
I finished that game 1.5 times. Or 1 in 75, I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't finish it the second time, but I got very close.
The game is actually pretty damn easy. Like,
you can just go through it. The second time I was playing it, I was just running through it. But my favorite Tomb Raider moment was when Laura. This is 2013 Tomb Raider, by the way. My favorite moment too was. When the first time she gets an actual human kill, how she reacted to it, I really felt like, holy shit, like I feel what she's feeling. Because the acting is great. She does a tremendous job. I can't remember her name, the actress. She has like blood all over her and she's sitting there and she screams like, holy shit. And she's throwing up from actually killing someone. You know, her stomach is all upset and. That's probably how I would react after killing someone. You know, I'd be like, "Holy shit, I just killed this person." I'd probably get sick to my stomach.
And she also killed that. Killing that deer as well. She was like, "Oh man, this sucks."
Yeah, you really felt that. So, right then and there, I knew that the game was.
And really when you're in the woods for the first time, like, and you step on that bear trap, and you're like, "Oh man,
there's
no one around me. There's no one around me."
Right.
It's an amazing game. It just has those two little things that we said, you know.
It is for sure. But anyways, moving on to the article, I wanted to ask you about that because that was the main thing for a video or obviously a title, which you guys can see above. 20 years of Tomb Raider. So, all right. Yes. On the PlayStation blog, the developers from Square Enix, they went ahead and went into some details. They said, we're planning on the PS4 version to run as a Tomb Raider. Our very first imperative was to outdo anything we had done before. Cough, cough, Xbox One version, which I did play. But it says, anything we had done before, such as our definitive edition, a mere game of the year, wouldn't satisfy us or our fans. We knew that the PlayStation community both deserve a demanded more than that. So we're working on it for a long time, and our partners at Nixa Software to make the version truly special. First, whenever we ask you what DLC you're interested in, the new story is number one on the wish list. Obviously, we think story is the best. I do, anyways. Talking over with our franchise creative director, Noe Hughes, he immediately turned to the franchise favorite, Croc Commander. While shown previously only in the cutscenes of the campaign of Rise of the Tomb Raider, the manor represents more than just a place. It is Laura's legacy. So in Laura's the Croft Manor is actually going to be a first-person experience. They're going to add it to the game where you can walk around her mansion, her family mansion, check out all her secrets. This is going to be a PlayStation VR exclusive. It's supposed to come out at the same time the PlayStation VR does, so that's awesome. So if you plan on getting a PlayStation VR...
They're going balls out with this collection.
So thanks, Xbox One owners, including myself, for beta testing.
Beta tested the game. Yeah, beta tested.
$60 and you're not getting.
Not only that, but you get co-op. You get co-op as well. Co-op is also coming, which I'm sure that you're going to get.
Right.
Too.
Yeah, I was going to get to that.
That's great.
Oh, dude. For sure. Yeah. Let's just jump into that then. Like in the co-op, it's survival aspect. You and someone else are trying to survive. You got food. You got the hunger meters and all that, and like even you can like freeze to death, everything. So you gotta hunt, eat, kill waves of enemies. So I'm guessing you have like a campsite, all of that. It's like a 7 days to die kind of thing, or Minecraft-y kind of thing, or don't starve, kind of in the sense of that. So how cool that would be an awesome game to stream or make videos of. Like doing something like that. That mode was actually available on Xbox One eventually, not co-op, but you can do that by yourself. So PlayStation 4 gets co-op day one. They get all the DLC day one. The Baba Yaga DLC, which is the cave.
It was worth the wait, wasn't it?
it was. It was worth the wait. This honestly sounds like, especially if you're a PS4 owner, knowing that VR is coming. So the Croft Manor thing, very cool. Especially like I meant to tell you this, a game that I played, but it's been a week or so now. I finished Gone Home. I didn't get to tell you about that. But if this is anything like Gone Home, and you get to explore and find journals and shit like that, then I can see this being a whole another separate experience for Tomb Raider. Yeah. So that's gonna be cool. This is awesome. I'm actually really excited that this is coming. I didn't think I would be as excited for Tomb Raider for a second time within a year, but I am.
Yeah.
So, what about you, Garth? A little less details on that. Something you're looking forward to maybe getting?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Sounds good.
I can't wait to play it. Can't wait to play it.
Oh, I know. I'm pumped. I honestly am pumped. For a second time. All right, next little bit. Original Dead Rising headed to PC, PS4, and Xbox One. Finally, PS4 is getting Original Dead Rising. I did play it on 360. A little story I have for that. The game had just came out. I plan on getting it on 360. And my girlfriend at the time, her stepdad, actually had came up to me. And he's like, hey, man, I found this game in the middle of the street. He's like, it's Dead Fucking Rising, and it came out that day. I'm not even kidding. Somebody dropped it or something. Something happened. And he's like, how much do you think this is worth? I was like, I don't know, $20. So I gave it $20. And he gave it to me. And me and Dallas, which is part of Gamercade, you guys can go check him out on the...
That's great, $20.
Yeah, and started playing it, and it was awesome, man. I was really enjoying myself. But I haven't really enjoyed a Dead Rising game like that since the first one. They all haven't felt the same to me. But for it to come to PS4 finally, that's awesome.
I would enjoy Dead Rising more. There's one problem I have with the games is their missions are all timed based.
Right. Some people like that.
I don't like that. I like to run at my own pace, do my own things, and. That's what I don't like.
You know what you could do then? I didn't know you could do this. I was just going to tell you, since you know that's one of your pet peeves. but you can actually play the game how you like. You don't have to save any lives or fight any bosses. You can just bullshit. But if you're there for the 72 hours, you'll just get a different ending. Yeah. So
you fail the game or something like that.
No, you know, yeah. you get an ending. It's just not the ending you expect, but you beat the game. It's just,
yeah
it's silly.
I see.
But on the original Dead Rising, I can't remember the enemy's name. The boss that I got to eventually in the mall was one of the clown bosses, and he was fucking... Yeah. I never beat him. I fucking raged and raged at that. And a lot of people tell me that boss was really...
The boss battles are really hard. Like, yeah, on Dead Rising 2, they are hard.
That's off the record, right? Dead Rising 2, off the record?
I just played the normal Dead Rising 2.
Okay.
It was ridiculous. Like, it was very hard. I never played that one. It was really...
Yeah.
And the mechanics and controls are also bad, so it makes it even harder to play. Oh, so it's just... I don't like...
They're so trash these days. But anyways, the trophy list is up. You guys can go check that out if the trophies are your thing. You guys can go look at all those, which is interesting to see if they're anywhere near or similar to the original Xbox 360 achievements for that game. So awesome. We finally get Dead Rising. How cool is that? It was an exclusive.
All these years. After all these years. Yeah. All these years after.
So many
years. 10 years after it came out. Right.
Next bit of news. You know... We talked about it before in this episode. No Man's Sky is coming out at the end of the summer. But I wanted to mention that this Dutch company claims it owns No Man's Sky's world generation formula. So it's like randomly generated content. The company claims in a newspaper reported today, the Dutch company claims it owns the world generation math formula that is used in the No Man's Sky tech, I guess you could say. But the guy that claimed this ended up, his company ended up going bankrupt. So now he's all of a sudden, he's like, oh, I own the tech for that. I own the random generated worlds tech and all that, blah, blah, blah. It sounds like this guy's just trying to get money for No Man's Sky success. Where was this guy a year ago when the game was announced? How many times did Sony show this game off at conferences, Garth? Like, can you even count on your fingers?
No.
I didn't think I can. But anyways, I thought that was hilarious. A funny little bit of news, because there isn't like a whole lot going on. But I thought that was funny. So the Dutch, a Dutch company, which I'm not going to name on here, don't need to do that, claims he owns the randomly generated tech for No Man's Sky, which is interesting.
Alright.
next little bit of news. PlayStation 4 console is the top selling console in June. No surprise there. I guess we could expect that. How long do you think the PS4 dominance is going to go? Do you think with the Xbox One S coming out this year, the Slim, and the price point it's going to be at, do you think that the PlayStation 4 console is going to be dominant throughout the year?
I think so. Throughout the holiday season, I think, too, as well.
Yeah, I don't see the PS4 slowing down anytime soon, especially with the VR.
Plus, they have like Gran Turismo coming out this year, too, which you know what happens when that comes out.
Yeah, the biggest selling exclusive on the platform, if you didn't know.
People say that the exclusives don't sell consoles. Gran Turismo's games sell PlayStations.
Right. And shout-outs for a boy, we always mention him on here, Colin and Greg. They were talking about how they were talking about the Drive Club community. They're like, oh, who plays Drive Club, blah, blah, blah. And they got a crazy amount of emails that just piled in. And they were like, okay, we're sorry. Now we realize that Drive Club has a massive online community, and there's certain people that have the audience. And you know, Drive Club sold like what, almost 3 million, which is, I know it sounds surprising, but there's an audience for those games. Just like you're gonna see Gran Turismo. Yeah, a lot of people might not be talking about it, but trust me, it's gonna sell. Like I predict at least like 10 million plus. Quote me on that.
10 million PlayStations or 10 million?
No, 10 million copies.
Gran Turismo's.
10 million Gran Turismo's. And now, if we sell 10 million PlayStations, now we're talking.
Yeah. Or it could be both.
Yeah, you never know. All right, next bit of news. Square Enix president is shocked by the quality of the PS4 exclusive Spider-Man. Surprised, and he's also surprised by God of War. Square Enix president Yosuke Matsuda, I hope I'm saying that correctly, is a gamer. He's also demonstrated that multiple times he isn't shy about showing off his gameplay online. And he often mentions his aspiration for Western games. In an interview in the latest issue of Weekly Famitsu, he talked about the 3 games that it was shown, for instance, Spider-Man and God of War, the games that impressed, those are the games that impressed him the most, especially the tech on PlayStation 4. He didn't think that was even possible. What are your thoughts? I wanted to get your thoughts real quick on the, we got the Neo coming out apparently this year, quote unquote. What are your thoughts on seeing God of War, Garth? I know this is kind of like jumping back. I had some news, but there isn't like a whole lot to really talk about this week. But what are your thoughts on the way Spider-Man looks? Remember how awesome Spider-Man 2 was on the PS1? What are your thoughts on the way Spider-Man?
They say that that's like in game too. So
no, yeah,
and it looks pretty cool because when you roll over things, items move, which is pretty. I love that.
Games. How long do you think they've been working? They've been working on this because it looks pretty close. I see we get the game next year. If that's the case, then they've been working on this game since probably before. I want to say Ratchet and Clank was even like thought about even being reimagined.
I don't know. It's hard to say when that'll come out. I'm not exactly sure. Right. It doesn't even have a name yet, you know. So
yeah, it's just Spider-Man PS4. That's it. That's all. It is.
Hashtag Spider-Man. That's all it is. So it doesn't even have a name yet. So
right.
I think we'll get a name at next year's E3 or maybe even at PlayStation Experience.
Right. I say we get a release date at PSX. And then we'll probably get. I think it'll probably be a fall game next year. I don't see why it wouldn't be a fall game.
I want to see gameplay. You know,
right? Yeah, we'll probably see more gameplay. We'll probably see or maybe who knows? We might need to see an extensive trailer from the last game that isn't cut off. We'll probably see more of that. Maybe with the release date, and I say at E3, we get the whole like someone sitting on stage and playing the game, and then we'll probably get the game in the fall of 2017. And he also went on to say that God of War is impressive. We all heard about that. God of War blew up for a while, and it's being reimagined as well. So, but anyways, thought that was cool. Two of the titles standing to a Square Enix president, which is really nice. So.
Yeah.
Next little bit of news. Amazon Spain leaks the pricing and release date for the PlayStation 4 Neo, blah, 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 blah. Last little bit of Neo news, you're probably here for a while. The PlayStation 4 Neo is still yet to release. However, it may be possible that the leak on Amazon Spain's website is to reveal some information about the new console. The new PlayStation 4 Neo is Sony's midterm upgrade to the original PlayStation 4, which was launched back in 2013. God damn it. I think I'm sitting here trying to click on the article. Let it load up. Here we go. Alright, according to the details leaked on the Amazon site, the new PlayStation they have listed comes with a price tag of in euros, it's $399, which was roughly translated to the US $449. However, no image details posted on Amazon site. It'll weigh in about 2 kilograms and is set to reveal on 13th of October 2016. However, it should be noted that this moment, the link is still live, but a lot has been removed from it. You could compare them. There's an update on the article as well. This turned out to be a mistake. The release date and price was actually meant for the PlayStation VR. Wow, I did not know that until now, so that was a good not there earlier. However, this may be the slim PlayStation 4 as well. That was rumored earlier. So $449. I think that's a little pricey for a slim. Maybe it's a bundle.
It is.
Yeah. So
if it's a bundle, then I can see it's fine. But
right.
You know, I would say that's still a little high for.
I think that sounds probably right there.
Because the point of a slim is you're making it more affordable and cheaper, so you can include a bundle with the same price.
Exactly.
So they would have to include like VR if they want to make it that much, you know.
Exactly. Yep, you're right.
So I
think
that's
VR on its own. To be honest, that's probably like a VR headset without anything, just without the Move controllers, without the camera. Nothing. All right, Garth. That's it for the PlayStation news this week. A little dry, nothing too crazy.
All right. So if I want to go to the store this weekend and buy some games or even on the PlayStation store, what is there to get?
Oh, you're asking the right guy. You're at the right place. This is PlayStation Pizza. You want to know where you get the weekly releases for PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, PlayStation Vita. You're definitely right here. First game release we got this week is 10 Second Ninja X, PS4, and PlayStation Vita. Digital and cross-buy. 10 Second Ninja X is a hardcore side-scroller. You're a ninja. They're robots, which sounds awesome, I guess. You've got 10 seconds to destroy them all. Get 3-star rating, climb leaderboards, discover secrets, and stop Captain Greatbeard. I have to check that out and see how it is, especially if it's going to be a Vita title. Next title we got, Cast of Seven Godsend Redux, PS4 and digital. Cast of Seven Gods Redux, which is a fucking ridiculous name. It's really long, kind of tongue-twisty. Harkens back to the days when the classic 2D run-and-gun shooters ruled the arcades. 4 levels of difficulty, 6 worlds to conquer, 12 mid end of level bosses, 7 godlike armor sets, 5 basic weapons, and 35 magic combat spells. One of the biggest titles this week is I Am Setsuna, which you talked about earlier in the show. It's PS4 digital only, so don't look forward to a physical release on this.
I want to play that eventually.
Yeah, same here. I Am Setsuna.
I want to get it on a sale.
Yeah, you know, I'll probably wait for that as well. I Am Setsuna introduces a authentic art JRPG style yesteryear to PS4. Journey Setsuna as she prepares to make the ultimate sacrifice, save the people of her land, a powerful nostalgic experience blending a classic style of storytelling and gameplay. Knot is a PS4 digital title. Rediscover the world of Chinese knots with this beautiful 3D puzzle game with its realistic graphics. Knot will fully immerse you into its world. The next game, me and you are actually looking really forward to, which some people might hate on, is Lifeless Planet Premier Edition.
Oh yeah, I'm very excited for that. I love, you know me, I'm love space. I love planets. So this is my type of thing.
I'm a really big space sci-fi kind of guy. So I'm right there with you.
Another one that came out last week as well, which we didn't do, was Adrift. I want to play that one as well.
Right,
that looks amazing. That looks amazing.
That looks really good. Sadly, no platinum though. No platinum trophy. So
that's okay. That's okay. I want my space experience. I want my space experience.
That's also on VR. So if you want to wait till the PlayStation VR or buy it now, it'll probably eventually be
Actually, you remember how you were saying, "Oh, Unreal 4 Engine doesn't really impress me all that much." That impresses me on that.
It does look really good. I will say that. Yeah, it does look really good. Yeah. All right, Lifeless Planet. While seeking life on a distant planet, an astronaut discovers an abandoned Russian town. He suspects his mission is a hoax until a mysterious young woman saves him from a strange deadly phenomenon. Lifeless Planet is a third-person adventure that features an old-school sci-fi story and spectacular environments. Also, the platforming looks fucking awesome in that game. All right, next up, Moonhunters. It's PS4 digital only. Yeah, it does. Moonhunters is a cooperative action personality test RPG in a rich ancient world that's different every time you play. Build your sounds mythology awesome. As every action choice contributors to how you're remembered as a constellation in the night sky. Next up, Neverwinter is PS4 digital. Is a free to play game. If you did not know, it's been on the Xbox One for a while.
I played that myself.
What do you think?
It's actually not too bad. I can't figure out how to sell my items, so I'm like just stuck. Right. I don't know where to go to sell
those
my
game,
items.
Yeah, those games like that are actually pretty frustrating when it comes to that.
There's just a lot to sink in. It is, a lot to take in.
You probably have to play with a friend. A lot of people tell me it's better to play with someone. Neverwinter is a free action MMO RPG based on acclaimed Dungeons & Dragons fantasy role-playing game. Epic stories, action combat, and classic role-playing. Wait, those heroes courageous enough to enter the fantastic world of Neverwinter. Next up is Ninja Pizza Girl, PS4 digital, out 7/20, which is actually available now, so if you guys want to go get that. Ninja Pizza Girl
She's trying to give us a plug. It's pizza.
Right, yeah, she's giving us a plug. Perfect title. I didn't even think about that for some reason. Perfect game for this podcast. Ninja Pizza Girl, supreme platformer with a deep dish message, featuring an old school action dedicated speedrun mode, a comic cutscene hand drawn by an authentic teenage girl. Yeah, she's authentic. She's not fake. Just let you guys know. Its deeply woven story follows, I said woman story, Gemma, a 16-year-old girl working as a pizza delivery ninja for her father's independent pizzeria. In a world where powerful mega corporations exploit the poor and quality pizza is hard to come by, Gemma must fight to keep her ideals, her family, and her business intact. For family, for honor, for pizza, for PlayStation and pizza. All right, next up we got Oblite Racers, I guess that's how you pronounce that. Award-winning party racing for up to 16 players. Race brutal, cute, alien, and exotic planets using weapons, power-ups, physics-based vehicles, and annihilate your competition in frantic round-based combat. I'll check that out and see how that is. I usually like party racing games and stuff like that. Next up is Orc Slayer, PS4 Digital. Armed with a revolutionary new weapon, a mass orc slaying, your mission is one of pure revenge. Using your new crossbow and array of special bolts, slay your way across the land on a frenzied rampage towards the heart of orc invasion. Next game, Spy Chameleon, is PS4 and PS Vita Digital only. It's also cross-buy. Spy Chameleon is an arcade puzzle game where the player must avoid being seen thanks to Chameleon's ability to change colors, camouflage. Through 5 missions and 75 levels, the player will discover different enemy types' abilities to complete these super secret missions. Next game is Sword Coast Legends, PS4 Digital. This is also a Dungeons & Dragons game. So, it is the same devs that do Neverwinter, but I don't think this is free to play. Set in a lush, vibrant world of the Forgotten Realms, Sword Coast Legends offers a all-new way to enjoy the real-time, tested magic of playing Dungeons & Dragons as a shared storytelling experience, which lately I've been actually getting more into D&D just because I've watched a few streams and people playing it, and the way they do it is actually really awesome and really fun-looking. So, anyways, if you're interested in PlayStation Music, PlayStation Video, or PlayStation View, you guys can go to the PlayStation blog, to the weekly drop, and see what's coming to all those services, as well as hearing the drop from us. All right, Garth, we're done with the news. We're done with the weekly releases. You know what time it is. It's time for the greatest hits, game of the week, and it's your turn this week. So I'm excited all to see what you got for me. And you said you physically have this title, so that makes it even better.
I actually have this title, so I'm going to show it. If you have the video, if you're watching the video version, you can actually see this game, which, if you're listening, they also see the game, but I'm going to say it, so it's not really going to matter.
Right.
So anyways, but yeah, I actually, it's funny, I remember getting this game, it was in 2003. And I got it on Father's Day. I felt so bad.
Was it a PlayStation 2 game?
It was a PS2 game.
Okay, so you're a proud father of a PlayStation.
I got it on Father's Day. I'll never forget that day because I was like, man, getting a game on Father's Day? What the hell? I just asked my mom because we were in Target and it was $20. I was like, can I get this? Like, so anyways. That's out of the way. But no, seriously, though, this game is like, it changed the way we play games today, changed the way we play open world games today. It has a lot of nostalgia for me. And it has a special place in my heart, regardless of how people like it. I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to do a Adam the Woo here. I don't know if you watch him or not, but
Grand Theft Auto 3. Lovely.
Yeah.
You are correct, sir. That did change the way we play all play video games.
Yeah.
The first time I played that game.
It perfected it. It perfected on open world games. And, you know, it has a special place in my heart. I was gonna take Vice City, but I'd say since GTA 3 did it first, and I actually, you know, started to play GTA 3 more, even though I played Vice City first. I actually got a memory card saved on GTA 3 first, so I was, I had to get GTA 3.
You know,
I'll always remember the characters and awesome music and great, you know. Did you
I'll never
know
forget the ending to that game. The ending was awesome.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Where he kills Maria.
Shit, spoiler alert. Yeah, she wouldn't shut the fuck up, so he just fucking shot.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Man, and you can see
the main
it.
The character is awesome. The protagonist is silent, so he doesn't speak. So it kind of makes him cooler, you know. Yeah. I love the mafia type of, you know, type of the mobster type of looking characters. Instead of today's more modern, this is more like the classic GTA 1 and 2 style. Did you know that this game originally was going to have multiplayer, online multiplayer?
I did not know that. How would that happen?
It was gonna have deathmatch. It was gonna have like a bunch of game modes. The game's maps are actually in the game's files. The thing is, you won't be able to see the maps in the game because they're in the game's files, but you can't see them. But what's interesting about this is that you can actually see the multiplayer maps in the iOS version. You can actually visit them. In the iOS version,
you can visit them. You can't do anything on them.
They're just dead areas. Like there's actually a building that you go in, and it's actually shown. It's on YouTube. You could, you know, watch it. There's a bunch of deleted files. The game was actually originally going to have a cartoony style.
Okay, like the original game. Why has that game came out on PC as well? So tell me this: why hasn't the PC guys dug up the files, created an online component for GTA 3.
I know that'd be really cool.
That really.
San Andreas does. I don't think the community really cares that much about maybe being a multiplayer game. I don't know.
Maybe not, but
because they already have GTA 4 and stuff. Thanks, so that's pretty amazing. That was 2001. I mean, think about that. That was six or seven years before GTA 4 when it had originally had online. So that was, you know, pretty revolutionary. It was scrapped from the game for who knows. It was unknown. And there was also some missions in this game that were scrapped. This one dude, he's a homeless guy that you come up to. And he tells you to go kill all these people, but they actually supposedly took him out due to the 9/11 attacks.
Okay. Well, makes sense.
Because this game came out a month after 9/11.
Okay.
So I mean,
interesting.
But I don't ever talk about video game commercials.
Right.
This game, GTA 3. Probably my favorite video game commercial of all time.
You know, I don't remember video game commercial of all time.
It has the opera song.
I remember now. And then
at the end, Grand Theft Auto 3, rated M for Mature, out now on PS2. Coming soon to PC, rated M for Mature.
Eventually coming to Xbox.
Later on, 2 years after. 2 years after.
Yeah, rated M for Mature. I first thought that you said 32 years after. Like what?
I did play the Xbox version, by the way. It blows the PS2 on.
I ended up beating the GTA 3 on Xbox, not PS2.
The graphics.
I know this is PlayStation podcast. But that is the truth. So,
I remember the collection being blown away because the Xbox. Yeah, I did too. Like it had like the chrome wheels. Case and everything.
In the game, the cars had better looking rims. Everything.
The fire looked better. But like, no, seriously though, this game like I never beat this game. I never beat GTA 3. I got stuck. I hated the maps. The map system, the map system does not hold up to current games. You can't select the waypoint. Just follow where it tells you to go. If that game did, I would have beaten this game because you gotta learn the map. And I've learned the map, but sometimes I'll make a wrong turn and then I'll get turned around. And I never really beat it. There was some timed
missions
on there. You gotta go the right way, because there's some of those timed missions where if you make contact with your car, you gotta go all the way back and paint and spray and do it.
So okay, like, there was a mission that was, I can't remember, it was timed, but it was something with the construction site guys. You had to do something. You had to kill so many guys, the construction site.
The helicopter?
On GTA 3? The helicopter?
Well, I'm thinking of the Vice City construction site with the helicopter and the building.
This one is in GTA 3. I know it is, because there's a building that was never finished in the game. It's trying to think of what's... You cross... what's that main bridge in the game that Vince gets fixed? What's it called?
Oh, yeah, like the Portland Bridge or something like that.
Something like that, but you pass it, you go down a little bit, and it's to your left. There's this building that never gets finished in GTA 3, and there's these construction guys on it. You got to snipe them. You got to do a whole bunch of shit, but you got to be really quick. And that mission, man, I could have sworn I did that so many times.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of people don't understand these old GTA games. If you die, you got to go all the way back. There is no, like, you know, restarting from the last checkpoint or whatever. You
gotta go all the way back. Yeah, it was a pain in the ass. So, but anyways,
so like, fucking, yeah. So, but like, I love the characters as well. This is probably like, out of all the characters in the GTA series, this is probably like my favorite one of the series. Right.
And Tommy Vercetti was what?
And Vice City as well.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Yep. Awesome characters in GTA. Honestly, 3 is probably my favorite Grand Theft Auto.
I get the most nostalgia for this in Vice City. I'll eventually do a Greatest Hits of Vice City as well.
I didn't blame you.
But I remember I remember getting on top of this building. I'll say one last thing. And then me and my friend came over. We used to always do this. We used to get the cheat codes.
Right.
To get all the ammo and everything.
Right.
So we got our RPG. We stacked our RPG ammo up to like 100 or whatever. So nice. we stood on top of the police station because there is actually a way to get up there.
Right.
There's a vantage point. We got our sniper rifles. We got our RPGs. So we just start sniping people down and just blow people up with the RPG. We take out a bunch of cars and everything. And we just start. We did this repetitively over and over because it was just so fun. We didn't care. We just shot everyone with RPGs, caused mayhem till we got as much cops on us as we could. We tried to stay alive as we can, as long as we can. And that was our objective. We just did that over and over again. We just did it over and over and over.
I used to do that in all the games. How to set my
so it was just like that. That's all I did. That's all I did for the longest time. I did that every day. I would come home from school to do that and just rack up a bunch of kills. It was crazy. I love doing
it. Yeah, good time. I used to do that in games too. That didn't have objectives like that. Like Tony Hawk, I used to do all kinds of stuff.
You create your own stuff.
Yeah. That's what happens like back in the day, especially if you didn't have money to get like newer games constantly. You played those older games so much, you just started to do stuff like that.
And you would, especially like GTA, where it was open world, you could go wherever you want. You could create your own perfect stuff. Perfect example. Yeah.
Yep. Awesome, Garth. Man, you caught me by surprise again. We always seem to catch each other by surprise.
Oh, yeah.
As always, man. Like,
I know it was great. I was thinking about that for 2 weeks now. I was like, oh, nice. I want to do this greatest hits game. We didn't do last week's show. I was like, I'm glad we waited this extra week because I just found out about the multiplayer today.
That's awesome. Yeah, I can't wait to. So yeah, great topic.
I'll actually post the video on the Facebook page so you can check it out yourself.
Yeah, facebook.com/group/gamercade. Be sure to go check that out. All right, Garth, let's shut this thing down.
It actually shows the menus and stuff.
Yeah, I love stuff like that. Like I told you, I love little things like that, so I cannot wait to see it, to be honest. I'm super excited. That's why I love the website Unseen 64. All those canceled games stuff, I love.
Oh,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, all right, yeah. Garth, let's plug this episode and let's get out of here. Really quick, before we do, you guys, like I said before, facebook.com/group/gamercade. Also, I completely redid of our website. If you guys want to go check that out, I put a lot of hard work and effort into that. So if you guys are going to look, it looks really good. We got more of a red and black theme going on now. So you guys can go check that out at gamercade.squarespace.com. Go over and check out what we're doing. All our social media stuff is on there. You guys can also go to our podcast tab, check out the Gamescast, which is every week, and PlayStation and Pizza, which is every week. Gamescast, you guys can check out every Sunday or Monday, and then for the PlayStation and Pizza, every Friday morning or Friday, you guys can check that out and download that as well. We're also available on iTunes and all podcast services around the world, so please be sure to rate, like, subscribe, all that good stuff, especially if you're here watching the YouTube version, the video version. If you guys like, hit that subscribe button down below. Also, our sites are in the description. You guys can do that as well, and all the nice and juicy details. One last little bit thing. We are also on Instagram, so if you guys want to like that, go check out like our photos where we're playing old school pictures of old school games, put up retro stuff, our website stuff, all kinds of stuff on there. So give us a, if you're on Instagram most of the time, go check that out and give us a follow. We are also on Tumblr now, posting and doing all kinds of blogs and stuff on there. So give us a follow on Tumblr. We'll follow you back. All right, Garth, let's plug your social media real quick, and then I'll plug mine. Let's get out of here.
All right, you can follow me on PSN. Well, not follow me, but add me on PSN for SpongeBob.
Can't follow you yet. You know, we don't have a follow it for you.
Yeah, I'm not a verified account. Mm-hmm. But I'm on Twitter, on Instagram, like he said. And only my Instagram is actually a separate account. It's SpongeBob. Like everything else. And then yeah, that's about it.
Lovely. On PSN you can follow me. Actually, you can't follow me yet, but you can friend me. I play Rocket League, tons of other games, so if you guys want to just add me and then see what I'm up to, send me an invitation to your party or something, maybe play something. It is XKillXONX on PSN. If you guys want to follow me on social media, on Twitter it is TheXKillXONX. So if you guys want to follow there, big wrestling fan, sports, all kinds of other stuff, skateboarding, you name it. Usually talking about stuff like that, so, or video games as usual. So if you guys want to do that, I would be more than happy to talk to you on there. But that's pretty much it. Yeah, so go check us out, subscribe, all that good stuff. All the links are down below in the description. Thanks for checking out episode 16 of PlayStation and Pizza. Until next time, guys. Game on.